Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with a study in the book of Revelation. We've been studying Revelation chapter 13, verse 13. For some time now, we are now on part 3 of that verse. And I will read that verse first, and then we'll go into an introduction and then the study. That verse reads, "And he, that is the beast, does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." In this verse, we had discovered in Revelation 13:13, part 1, that you can click on to be refreshed, that when it says, "He, that is the beast, makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men," it is spiritual language, which means that during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, for Revelation chapter 13 is set in the context of the Great Tribulation, the kingdom of Satan, also called the beast, which consists of Satan as its head, his demons, the counterfeit Christians, and other unsaved people, makes judgment, symbolized by fire, come down from heaven into the corporate Christian church in the sight of or before humans by causing people to fall backward. Indeed, in that past study that you can click on to be refreshed of, we found that either making literal fire come down from heaven, as God did through Elijah against the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18, or making people to fall backward, as Christ did to Judas and his enemies when they had come to seize him in the Garden of Gethsemane, John 18 verses 1 through 6, both spiritually represent the same thing of bringing God's judgment down from heaven against the transgressors. But since Satan is not able to make literal burning fire come down out of heaven into the churches before people to show that he is judging God, as we had learned in that account of Elijah as he stood against the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18, nevertheless, Satan is able to make people fall backward in his great deception to make himself appear as if he is the true judge in God. And that is what he did in the Christian churches during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. And he even continues to do so even to this day. Yes, Satan continues to make it appear as if he can make judgment symbolized by fire in our verse of Revelation 13:13, come down from heaven into the churches to deceive them into believing he is judge and God by normally working through the beast's counterfeit Christians to touch people on their foreheads to make them fall backward, while at times apparently even doing great wonders or of healing or saving them too. These are the great wonders or signs that the beast, with Satan being its head and his counterfeit Christians functioning as if they were his body, have been doing in the churches to help deceive many into worshiping him as if he were the true Lamb of God who takes away the sins of his people, when he is not. No, rather, he is the master deceiver who works through his counterfeit Christians and unsaved people as he sits as the counterfeit Christ and King, the Antichrist and Satan, over the entire corporate Christian church. That is all Christian churches, without them even knowing it. Then, in Revelation 13:13, part 2, that you can click on to be refreshed of, it was confirmed even further to us that this making of God's judgment, symbolized by fire, to come down out of heaven into the Christian churches during the Great Tribulation, as made visible by their people literally falling backward when touched on their forehead by a counterfeit Christian of Satan and the beast, has been a miraculous wonder or sign performed by the beast that reveals God's judgment against those counterfeit Christians and even the whole Christian church. For we had discovered in our last study that you can click on to be refreshed of Genesis chapter 49, that once again, to be made to fall backward has to do with the revealing of God's judgment against those people in which the falling backward takes place. Indeed, we have learned that as we, the elect or saints of God, bring or reveal God's judgment against all those still in the Christian churches in fulfillment of the man Israel's prophecy about the tribe of Dan judging his people in the latter days, they are made to fall backward off their horse. Because the whole notion of being made to fall backward means they are under the judgment or wrath of God. Simply put, as we, God's true people, reveal God's judgment upon the whole corporate Christian church, and that includes all Christian churches, they are all said to fall backward because they are all under the judgment of God. The whole notion of people falling backward then means they, in this case, all those still in the Christian churches, are under the judgment of God. Now, let's look further in God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, at the term fall backward to see if such terminology consistently symbolizes being under the judgment or wrath of God. For each time we see this to be the case in Scripture, our argument for the literal falling backward of people in the churches being a wonder or sign of God's judgment against them becomes stronger and stronger. And let's never forget that this whole phenomenon of people being made to fall backward by the head of the beast, Satan, making judgment come down from heaven into the Christian churches before humans, as is symbolized by the beast making fire come down from heaven on the earth before humans, as we saw in Revelation chapter 13, verse 13, has been especially manifested in churches during the period that the very accurate biblical timeline of history had taught that it would be. For Revelation 13, verse 13, taught that the falling backward of people in the churches during the Great Tribulation was a sign of God's judgment having come upon the Christian churches, symbolized by the fire, that is judgment, coming down from heaven on the earth before humans in Revelation 13, 13. But it was the biblical timeline of history that revealed exactly when that great tribulation took place, namely from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. And wonderfully, this great tribulation took place exactly when the whole phenomenon of falling backward was becoming huge in the churches around the world, to add further support for the accuracy of the biblical timeline of history. And you can click on the link for evidence and proofs, for more evidence and proofs that that timeline is accurate. Yes, in that we have seen this whole phenomenon of the beast making people fall backward, that is making fire come down from heaven into the churches, especially when the biblical timeline of history had revealed that it would, the biblical timeline is further evidenced to be true and accurate, as it always has been true, because it comes directly from God's holy word, the Holy Bible, which is truth. Jesus once said, "Thy word is truth," John 17:17. Therefore, we can also say the biblical timeline of history is truth as well, for it all begins by simply following some given biblical guidelines in adding up the given years of the biblical genealogies in Genesis 5 and 11. If you know how to add numbers and can follow a few given biblical guidelines, then you can also prove to yourself that our biblical timeline of history is accurate. You can begin by carefully reading the book, Adam When, chapters 3 and 4, by clicking on this link, as well as the clue phrase called his name, by clicking on this other link. We also have an audio teaching that puts the timeline together as you listen by clicking here. But it will take some study on your part, for these things were not learned overnight. Therefore, you should not expect to learn them overnight or make a conclusion without careful prayer over and study of all the biblical information. But now, moving on to further in today's study, the next place in the Bible where we find the terminology to do with falling backward is in 1 Samuel chapter 4, which reads in verse 18, "And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. This scripture reveals, as we shall see, the prophesied end to the head priest Eli in the days of the prophet, priest, and judge Samuel. Many of you are probably familiar with this story, but let's refresh our memories. As stated, Eli was the head priest, and Samuel was freely given to him by his mother Hannah after being weaned from the breast to serve God and Eli in the temple at Shiloh. For Hannah was barren before she bore Samuel, but she had prayed earnestly in the temple for God to give her a child, while Eli, the chief priest, looked on. As she prayed, Eli thought she was drunk because he saw her lips moving as she prayed silently and earnest, but he heard no voice. And as Hannah prayed, she promised God that if he would give her a child, she would bring the child back to the temple to serve both Eli and God therein for the rest of the child's life after the child had been fully weaned from her breasts. And God heard her prayer, and she gave birth to a son, Samuel, who she presented to Eli at the temple after the child had been weaned from her breasts. We read about this in detail in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 2, verse 11. It reads, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. and Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man wept, went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all his sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, Peninnah, also provoked her, that is Hannah, sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she, that is Hannah, went up to the house of the Lord, so she, Peninnah, provoked her. Therefore, she, Hannah, wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seems good to thee. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Now, as we read further into this true story about Eli, the head priest, and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, we find that Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were sons of the devil. They purposely took control of the Lord's sacrifices from his people to unlawfully take more of the best meat from the burnt offering for themselves in a way contrary to the law of Yahweh. They even laid with the women at the door of the congregation to commit fornication with them. But Eli did not severely punish his evil sons as he should have to make them stop their evil deeds. So God sent to Eli a prophet, a man of God, to condemn his deeds and the deeds of his sons. The prophet told Eli that his two sons would die in one day, and the priesthood would be taken from his family line and given to a priest after Yahweh's own heart. We read the details of all this in 1 Samuel 2, verses 12 through 36. It reads, Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant, while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, all that the flesh hook brought up, and the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came there. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, Let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desires, then he would answer him, Nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said to them, Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor with the Lord and also with men. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick you at my sacrifices and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation? And honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee, that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall die both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, Put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. Therefore, because Eli did not chasten his evil sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to keep them from all their evil upon the sacrifices to the Lord, and from fornicating with the women at the door of the tabernacle of congregation, God, through the man of God or prophet, prophesied the end to the house of Eli and his two sons. And that end did come when the people of God went to battle against the Philistines. The result then was just as the prophet had told Eli it would be. We read about this in 1 Samuel 4, verses 10 through 18. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army, and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent, and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of this tumult?" And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, "I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army." And he said, "What is there done, my son?" And the messenger answered and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there has been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God is taken." And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate. And his neck broke, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And now, having gone over the major details of this true historical story, in which we find the second mention in the Bible of the phenomenon of falling backward, remember the first mention of falling backward was in our previous study that you can click on to be refreshed, of Genesis 49, verse 17. We can begin to clearly see once again what falling backward has to do with. The verse again reads, Samuel 4:18, "And it came to pass when he," that is the messenger to Eli, "made mention of the ark of God, that he," Eli, "fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Obviously then, when Eli fell backward to break his neck and die, it was a sign of Yahweh's judgment that came upon Eli and his whole house, including his two evil sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Thus, just as we saw in our previous study, as you can click on to be refreshed of, that when we read Dan, who we learned are the elect or saints in our day, shall judge his people, who we learned are those still in the Christian churches, and then we read that judging was pictured or symbolized by Dan, that is God's elect or saints, being a biting serpent at the horse heels, causing those still in the churches to fall backward off their horse, and that was in Genesis 49:16 through 17, all representing God's judgment upon them. So also do we see here in Samuel 4, verse 18 of today's study, that when Eli fell backward to break his neck, his falling backward represents God's judgment upon him and his whole house. Thus, we see the whole notion of falling backward to represent or picture God's judgment upon the group of people who are the transgressors. And this further supports the whole phenomenon of falling backward by being slain in the spirit in the churches of our day, when the counterfeit Christian usually touches the people on their foreheads to be a sign or wonder of God's judgment upon them. Not only those people, nor only the one church, but the whole corporate Christian church, which includes all Christian churches, as we shall see in the third and final biblical reference to falling backward to next be considered. We read in Isaiah 28, verses 7 through 13, "But they," And the they refers to the remnant of God's people in ancient Israel. See verse 5. Also, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priests and the prophets have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Without getting into too much detail about these verses at this time, let's just first recognize that these verses were prophesied by Isaiah the prophet, who prophesied God's judgment against God's very own people, both to the northern kingdom, with its capital being Samaria, and the southern kingdom of Israel, with its capital being Jerusalem. The northern kingdom came to be known as Israel, and the southern kingdom became known as Judah. In the particular passage we just read, Isaiah was prophesying to the northern kingdom of Israel. Now it is obvious that the people of God, Israel, who Isaiah prophesied to, were a rebellious people. For God continuously taught these Israelites the right way they should go through the message of his prophets and his law. But they were a stiff-necked people who would not listen. They almost always wanted to go their own way instead of the way of Yahweh. And we see this clearly stated in verse 12, where we read, once again, in verse 12, to whom he, that is God, said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. That is, God would be teaching his people the right way to go through his prophets and law to give rest and refreshing to them, but they would not hear and obey. As usual, they were in rebellion to God's teachings, and that is why God sent the Assyrians to destroy them and take them captive to Assyria. And finally, he took them, the southern kingdom as well, Judah, captive into Babylon by the Babylonians about 100 years later. Well, that is why we read in verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he, God, speak to this people. Indeed, due to their ongoing sin of not listening to and obeying Yahweh, he brought his judgment upon Israel by the Assyrians, who were a people of a different language, and so-called a people of stammering lips and another tongue. The Assyrians attacked Israel more than one time under two different kings of Assyria, but the final blow came in 709 BC when the capital of the northern kingdom, which was Samaria, was finally conquered and destroyed. Thus, Israel, God's very own people, were destroyed by the very pagan nation of Assyria, which God used as his instrument for judgment. Now, it is in this context of God using the pagan nation Assyria, a people of stammering lips and another tongue, that we read in Isaiah 28, verse 13, "But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." So once again, we see the terminology of falling backward as representing or symbolizing God's judgment. In this case, it represented God's judgment upon the whole nation of Israel. Yes, God sent the wicked nation Assyria, a people of stammering lips that spoke a different language, to judge his very own people by conquering and destroying them because they would not listen to and obey the true God. In the words of Isaiah, they were caused to fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Now, all this was a picture or type for what God has done to his New Testament corporate Christian church, the new Israel, if you will, because they would not listen to him and obey in all too many things. He finally began his final judgment upon them at the end of the church age on May 21, 1988. And just as he had sent the king of Assyria and his nation to destroy his very own Israel to cause them to fall backward in judgment, so on May 21, 1988, God sent the king of Babylon, that is the king of this world, who is the perfect counterfeit Christ, the ultimate antichrist, Satan himself, his counterfeit Christians and his unsaved people, all parts of the beast, to bring final judgment against all the Christian churches. For the final judgment had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. But one of the big differences between God's judgment upon his old house of Israel and his new house of Israel is that his judgment on his new house of Israel, that is all the Christian churches, is that his judgment on all the Christian churches is his final judgment against them. They will not recover from this judgment. The judgment is final. Indeed, God has already spiritually destroyed them as we look around and we see, which is why all his true people, the elect or saints, have already departed out or must depart out from all the Christian churches to obey Christ unless they be destroyed right along with all those who remain in the Christian churches, the new Israel. And you can click on Why Leave All Churches for more information on that. So, is it any wonder why we see people falling backward, a representation of God's judgment in the Christian churches today? As Satan, who is of the beast, makes judgment, symbolized by fire in Revelation 13, 13, come down from heaven into the churches in the sight of people. The people in the churches are being slain in the spirit and falling backward, being a sign or wonder, because God's judgment has come upon all the Christian churches, that is the corporate Christian church, just as this same judgment of falling backward was typified or symbolized in our previous study by the tribe of Dan judging his people. That is God's elect or saints who have departed out from all the Christian churches, judging all those still in the Christian churches to make them fall backward off their horse, which symbolizes the ruining of their strength in battle because eternal salvation is no more and the true Christ and Holy Spirit are no longer in the Christian churches but have been replaced by the counterfeit Christ and Holy Spirit, Satan himself, his demons, and counterfeit Christians, all who make up the beast. Well, we have seen in our study of Revelation 13:13 in conclusion that in every case of the Bible where the notion of falling backward is mentioned, it always has to do with God's judgment. Thus, we can say with all confidence that the language of falling backwards represents or symbolizes God's judgment. In the case of Jesus making each of the men fall backward to the ground who came to seize him in the Garden of Gethsemane to have him eventually be crucified, revealed that God's judgment was upon those evil men for coming to unjustly seize the Christ and put him in chains. Then, in the case of the man renamed Israel, and his prophecy about the ancient tribe of Dan judging his people in the latter days, which was fulfilled beginning on May 21, 1988, when judgment began against all the Christian churches, and God's elect, typified by the tribe of Dan, had begun declaring God's judgment against all the Christian churches, also typified by the tribe of Dan, by ruining their strength in battle, typified by Dan making them fall backward off their horse in the given prophecy. Once again, reveals that the notion or terminology of falling backwards represents God's judgment against those who were involved in the falling backward, which in this case is all the people still in the Christian churches. They were caused to fall backward in the man Israel's prophecy because God's judgment came upon them. Then finally, in the case of our study today, we found that God used a pagan nation, a people with stammering lips and a foreign tongue, the king of Assyria and his people, to conquer and destroy ancient Israel as his judgment against them for not listening and obeying his teachings through the law and the prophets who were sent to them early. And this was said to cause God's people Israel to fall backward, so that we see the whole nation, a whole notion of falling backward, once again representing or symbolizing God's judgment against his people Israel, which also typified God's judgment today against his new Israel, namely all the Christian churches, by using the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, the devil and his nation, Babylon, his demons, counterfeit Christians, and other unsaved people, to completely destroy them, as he has already spiritually accomplished, even though they have been fed a strong delusion to not see this. They have no idea that Satan and his demons are now the Christ's ruling over them in great deception in their churches. It is the devil's greatest hoax ever. And certainly at least one of the reasons why it has been called a tribulation unlike any other tribulation. So, now coming full circle back to Revelation 13:13, we read, "And he, that is the beast, does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Since fire can symbolize judgment throughout the Bible, and we have found that everywhere the notion of falling backward is found in the Bible reveals that it too symbolizes judgment, then we can substitute the term falling backward for the term fire in our verse, because both falling backward and fire spiritually represent the same thing, namely judgment. or God's judgment. So now we can translate our verse like this. And he, that is the beast, does great wonders so that he makes falling backward come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And because we found in our first study of this verse that you can click on to be refreshed of, that the phrase on the earth in the sight of men is better and spiritually translated into the churches before humans. The verse reads now, and he, that is the beast, does great wonders so that he makes falling backward come down from heaven into the churches before humans. So, with respect to our verse, Revelation 13:13, which mentions that the beast makes fire come down from heaven on the earth before humans, and the context reveals that this takes place during the Great Tribulation, as we have previously learned, we know that this has already been fulfilled by what we continue to see take place by people being caused to fall backward in the churches. And this phenomenon of falling backward in a few of the churches reveals that God's judgment is upon the whole corporate Christian church. That is all Christian churches. It is a sign of God's wrath on the church. And in that this phenomena of falling backwards spread far and wide during the time that the biblical timeline of history revealed that it would, during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, we have strong validation for the biblical timeline of history being quite accurate, which should make us rejoice beyond measure, for according to it, the end of all things is right at hand when God's true people who had obeyed Christ to depart out from all the Christian churches, that is Jerusalem, to be a captive in Babylon, in this world or kingdom of Satan, will finally return to Jerusalem. But as the new heavenly Jerusalem, in the new heaven and earth, as we are given new incorruptible, eternal, and glorious bodies in the rapture into glory on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in. Now, until the next time, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face so shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace beyond measure.